So I hope you're as excited as I am to welcome Jason and Rachel. Come on up, guys.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Everybody awake this morning? Ready to learn? Good. We got a lot to give, so excited to have you guys here. We're excited to be here. We had a full room yesterday. It looks like we're going to have a full room this morning, so that's always good. I've got a lot to cover in 90 minutes, and I kind of talk fast, so I'm going to give you guys as much value as I can possibly give you in 90 minutes. Rachel and I have been real estate investors really since 2010. I've been in the real estate world since 2001. So we've seen a lot of things. What we really kind of focus on more than anything is the marketing side of real estate investing, which to me is like lead generation, right? Putting you guys in front of sellers that other people aren't in front of. We've made a lot of money by going where the crowds aren't. You know, I don't ever want to be the guy who is competing against 16 other investors to have to be the highest price. I mean, we don't win at that game. I'll routinely buy property at 60% of after repair value minus repairs. And everywhere I go, people say, well, you can't do that here. And my response is always, well, you can't do this here because you're using the same old marketing techniques that have been taught for the last 20 years. You're doing the same thing that everyone else is doing, so you're getting the same result that others are getting. And what I want to share with you guys today, I'm going to teach you a strategy or two that you probably have never heard of, and then I'm going to teach you a couple of strategies that you have heard of. What I'm going to do differently with the ones that you have heard of is I'm going to show you some ways to market to them that you probably haven't heard of before. And again, my goal in this is, you know, I think our, what do you guys think our number one job as real estate investors is? What do you think the number one thing that we need to be doing the most as investors? Helping people? What else?
Creating win-win.
What's that?
Win-win.
Creating win-win, sure. Making offers, yeah, right. I think our number one job as real estate investors, if you want to be successful at this, our number one job as real estate investors is to put ourselves in front of as many people as we possibly can that have a house that they may need to sell. That's my number one goal, right? If you're tracking any metrics at all, my number one goal is just to be in front of as many people as I possibly can that have a house that they may need to sell. So how do we do that? Well, we do that by creating more inbound response from our marketing, more leads, more people that want to talk about selling their house, right? So that's what I want to really give you guys this morning is talk to you about how we do that. Why did you guys come this morning? Why are you in here instead of somewhere else?
Do
you want to learn what?
Market.
You want to learn to market? Why do you want to learn to market?
More.
To find more deals. Why do we want more deals?
Money.
We get more money, right? Why do we want more money?
College.
Pay for college, retirement, right? Freedom, right? I mean, when we really drill it down, it's freedom, isn't it? We all, you know, our surface level response is always more leads, and then we dig it down, it's money, and then we dig it down. It's really freedom. We want freedom to wake up and live the life how we want to live. We want to have the freedom to travel and go wherever we want to go, whenever we want to go there. We want that complete financial freedom and freedom of life. And I am really here today because real estate investing has bought me that freedom. I wake up in the morning, I don't owe a dime to anybody. I don't have bills, I don't have debt, I don't have things that I owe, and real estate is what has bought me that freedom. You know, I was raised in a small farm town in Troy, Missouri, and it was built into me from a young age by my father that my job as a man was to work and provide. That's what you do. You work and provide. And then from a young age, I mean, my friends were riding bikes and having fun, and my dad had us up at 6 in the morning, you know, doing lawn work and picking up sticks on 8.5 acres. And just, I'm not saying I was right or wrong. I'm saying he beat it into me at a young age that that was my job. And so when I opened my first business at 21 years old, I outworked everybody. You know, I subscribed to this dream. I was at the office by 5:30 in the morning, and I left at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, probably 6 nights a week. And I sacrificed everything else because I put this business first. I put this job first, and I subscribed to that dream that if I work really, really hard right now, then someday I can have this life that I want. You know what I'm talking about? If I work really, really hard right now and I make all these sacrifices right now, then someday I can go to the beach and retire. Only that somebody didn't come for me. 2007 came for me. And it wiped out all of that time. And then I came across a mentor early when I first started learning how to learning real estate investing, and he said, you know, what you really need to do is get clear on what you want your life to look like and build the business around it. So there's no shortage of people that are here at OREA, and I'm not knocking them for this, but there's no shortage of speakers who are teaching you how to be investors in real estate. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm going to teach you some really cool real estate investing stuff. But what I think there's a shortage of is people that are teaching you how to actually run a successful business. And that's what's missing. How many of you guys in here work a full-time job? You work a 9-to-5, some almost the whole room, okay? So the problems that you're gonna run into is when you go to transition from full-time corporate America into owning your own business, you may have some real estate skills, but if you don't have those business skills, you're in big trouble. And here's why, because we're not all good at everything, right? There are some things that I'm really, really good at, and there are a lot of things that I'm absolutely horrific at. And what we tend to do as entrepreneurs when we open a business, you know, you work in your corporate America job and you work in a department, right? You may work in the sales department, or you may work in HR, or you may work in shipping or packaging or whatever, right? But the person that works in shipping and packaging doesn't typically assign paychecks or do HR functions, right? But when we open our own business, we tend to assign ourselves all of those roles. And the problem with that is we're not typically good at all those things. And so we get stressed out, we get overwhelmed, we throw our hands up in the air, and we say real estate investing didn't work. And so what I also want to give you all, Rachel and I really specialize in transitioning people out of corporate America into full-time real estate investing by building smart businesses. You know, we've helped scale medical companies, we've helped scale doctor's offices, law firms, real estate businesses, all kinds of different companies, and that's what my real passion is. I'm an entrepreneur. I like building things from nothing. I like creating them from scratch. We just bought a 94-bed assisted living facility. Super cool transaction. We just had our very first month of ownership of that, and we netted positive cash flow, $85,000 our very first month. Yeah, right? Thank you. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's freaking awesome, right? Here's the thing. That 94-bed assisted living facility is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I live in St. Louis. But I own the majority of it. Rachel and I own the majority of it. How do we do that? Because I got crystal clear on what it looks like to run a successful business the right way. I decided before we bought that I'm going to give 2 hours a week to running that business. 2 hours a week out of my life to running that business. Period, end of story, I'm not doing it. And so we engineered it in a way where on Monday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. I have management meetings and leadership meetings where we lead our team. We set the course for what we want to accomplish for the week. We make decisions. We get interaction. We do those types of things, but then it's their job to run it and fulfill those actions. And so we've created metrics, we've done things to set that business up in the right way, but that thing will pay us $1.2 million a year in positive cash flow. One transaction. That's what's so cool about this business, is one transaction can change your whole, I mean, 100 grand a month changes anybody's life in here, yes?
Yeah.
It changes anybody's life, and that's one deal. That's one deal. So I share that with you because your instinct is going to be to trade your time for dollars. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that there's a smarter way. Okay? I played that game for my first 10 years of entrepreneurship, but I'm here to tell you, I did it wrong. And what I would prefer to do is save all of you guys the 10 years. Is that fair? And you can learn to do it the right way from the very beginning. What I would like all of you guys to do, how many of you are newer to real estate investing? How many of you have done less than 10 deals? All right, cool. Wow, almost all of them. All right, good. So what I would like all of you guys to do is I would like you to write down how much money do you want this real estate investing business to pay you over the next 12 months? Write down, how much money do you want it to pay you over the next 12 months? And remember, you get from the world what you ask of it. So if you write 50 grand down on that paper, that's probably what you're going to get. I would prefer that you write down the number that actually has an impact on your life. What's the number that gets you out of corporate America? What's the number that allows you to say, you know what, I'm not going to that job anymore. I am going to have some freedom. What's that number look like? What's that? Whatever it is for you. Whatever it is that gets you out of that world. Whatever it is that causes some life to change. Because here's the thing. I meet investors who say, if I just did 3 deals in a year and I made 30 grand a pop, that would be a game changer for me. That's cool. I'm not here to judge what your life should look like. I'm here to help you get the result that you're trying to get, right? And I may meet somebody else that says, I want to do 3 deals a week. I want to do 10 deals a month. That's fine, too. But is the recipe to close 10 deals a month the same as the recipe to close 3 deals a year? Yes or no?
No.
No, right? Absolutely not. It's a totally different thing. So I'm not here to tell you what's right or wrong, but I want you to get clear on what you want your business to look like. Because one of the most important things that I can give you is a clear map of what your business should be doing on a daily basis in order to achieve the result that you're trying to get. This is not a thing that you can go in and wing it and hope for the best. Make sense? I coach some of the most successful real estate investors in the country. I coach guys that are doing 20, 30 transactions a month, every single month. I've helped them build their businesses from nothing. So when people come to me and say, I want to close a deal a month, it's not a hard thing, but there are things that that business needs to do consistently on a daily basis in order to achieve the result. Make sense? Kind of like saying, I want to be a national championship bodybuilder. Well, you don't say, I want to be a national championship bodybuilder, but you're only going to go to the gym once every 2 weeks, right? It doesn't work like that. There's a very strict, right? I mean, I wish it was, but it's not. There's a very strict regimen that they go through of what they eat, how many times they lift, what frequency they lift, what weight. You get what I'm saying? That they do over and over on a daily basis, and then at some point to achieve that result. It's very similar in business. So I need to help you guys get clear on what your business needs to do on a daily basis to get the result that you're trying to get. And then it becomes very predictable. It becomes very attainable. It's when we're lost and we don't know exactly what we should be doing that we don't get the results, and then we throw our hands up and say it didn't work. It always works. If there's something that's broken your business if it's not working. Okay? And then I want you to, everybody have that number? Everybody have the amount down that they want to earn? Okay. Next thing that I would like you to do is just take a minute real quick and jot down a couple of things that matter to you, a couple of things that would change, a couple of things in your life that would change if you earned that money. So if you wrote down that I want to make $300,000 my first year in real estate investing, write down a couple of things that would change. What would be different? How could you live life differently? What different decisions would you make? Would you be able to wake up in the morning and have breakfast with your significant other or cook your kids breakfast? Or would you go to the gym at 10 o'clock in the morning and exercise because you've been telling yourself for 10 years that you want to be healthy, but you've done nothing about it? Write down some of those things, because here's the deal. Money in and of itself is not a strong enough motivator. We all think it is, but I'm telling you it's not. Money in and of itself isn't going to motivate you to take action when you don't feel like taking action. Money in and of itself isn't going to motivate you enough when you get home from work at the end of the day and you cook dinner and you do the things around the house and then you realize that you need to make some outbound phone calls to sellers for an hour. It's not going to motivate you to do it. So I need you to come up with something greater than money that's going to empower you to act. Something greater than money that's going to empower you to make that decision when you need to. I want you to write something down. 80% of success in anything, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your business, 80% of success in anything is psychological, and 20% is mechanics. You need to understand that at a high level. You guys all came here this morning because you want to learn real estate mechanics, but real estate mechanics is only 20% of the equation. And the right mechanics will get you to the finish line 100 years faster. Don't get me wrong. We need those mechanics. But if this isn't right, we're never, ever going to get there. We're never, ever going to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. And you can look at anybody that's succeeding in this business at a high level, and they'll tell you the same thing. How many of you guys saw the panel last night, came into the expert panel? Did you hear what Damon said about mindset, about the lady who asked the question? And yeah.
Thank you for saying Damon, because yeah. I thought, what was the name of the person who said mindset?
Yeah.
The second time he said that to her, he said, what I hear is, and I thought, that's me.
It's exactly right. It's all of us.
But when I heard it, that, I have to fess up.
And it's psychological, right? And why don't we do the things that we need to do? It's fear, right? It's fear of failure. It's fear of making a mistake. It's fear of losing money. It's fear of not knowing the answer. It's fear of looking dumb to other people or doing the wrong thing, right?
We don't necessarily see that. All we see is our decision not to do something. Or our,
that's right.
We don't see it's fear of this or fear of that.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So I want to get you guys. I want to get you guys past that place where you can take action and actually make this business work. I want to share with you something that I think is kind of the foundation of successful businesses. I call it the three universal laws of success, and this is something that I came up with when I got wiped out. And I'll tell that story here in a minute, a brief version of it. But when I got wiped out, like I went from being a multimillionaire to basically homeless in a 2.5-year period of time when the market collapsed, and when I was in that place of being wiped out and losing my house and losing my cars and losing everything that I had worked for that previous 10 years, I've studied success since the time I was 19 or 20 years old. I've always tried to put myself around successful people. I've tried to read books and autobiographies about successful people. And so I thought to myself, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I don't have a college degree. I don't have all these things, but I've been successful in business. Why? There has to be some things that are universal that if I apply them to any industry, it'll work again. What could they be? And so I started looking at the success I had, and I was like, if I could extract out of that 10 years of success that we've had so far, if I could extract 3 or 4 things that I think are the root cause of why I was successful and others weren't, 95% of new businesses fail within the first 5 years. 95% of new businesses fail within the first 5 years. That's crazy. So why haven't I failed? Why hasn't that happened? And I tried to extract what it was. And here's what I came up with. And since then, I've watched other businesses and I've used this recipe to build other companies, and we've been extremely successful every time. And so I'm going to give you guys a way to bypass that 95%. The number one thing that I see that super successful businesses or entrepreneurs all have in common, and here's the thing, you don't have to be the smartest person in the world. What you have to be able to do is duplicate somebody's system that's already successful. That's it. You don't have to go blaze, you figure out all this stuff on your own and spend the next 20 years trying to figure out how marketing works and how business works. Find somebody's blueprint that already works and copy it. I've done it over and over. Rachel and I have created, I don't know, 9 or 10 multi-million dollar companies at this point from scratch with nothing. We're 2 kids from a farm town in Troy, Missouri that had absolutely no education and a real crappy environment growing up. So why? So one of the things that I see, the number one thing that I see that successful businesses have in common is they have a recipe or a blueprint. What do I mean by that?
Plan.
Anybody? A plan, a system, right? And let's drill that down a little bit more. I don't mean goals. A goal is to say I want to close 10 houses next year. That's not a recipe or a blueprint. That's a goal. Think about blueprints like a house. It tells you how many 2x4s you need, how many nails you need, how much concrete you need specifically, and then it shows you in order how you have to put all the. It's a very detailed, specific plan of exactly what needs to happen in order to take a raw piece of ground and turn it into a house that a family lives in. Right? That's a blueprint. We need that same thing for our business. If you don't have that, I don't mean to be rude, but you're going to fail. 95% chance that you're going to fail if you don't have a crystal clear blueprint for what your business needs to do on a daily basis. Now, that can be my blueprint. I'm going to talk about that today, or it can be somebody else's. You need to find someone that's achieving the result that you're trying to achieve and duplicate exactly what their business does on a daily basis to get the same result, and you'll get it. You don't have to be a real estate expert. I closed 111 flips my very first year, having never done real estate investing before in my entire life. I didn't need to understand real estate investing at a high degree. I need to understand how to get business results, okay? So I want you to understand that, because we can get in this education loop for the rest of eternity and we never take action, okay? Which leads me to number 2. The ability to take massive action. This is the second thing that I see that successful entrepreneurs have in common. You know, I get to go speak all over the country, and I get to speak to large rooms, and I get to see people who take what I taught them, and their life changes. They pay off their house. They pay off their car. They quit their job. They come and tell me about it. They post it all over our Facebook page. I get to see that happen. And then I get to see a whole lot of people who don't implement it, and nothing changes. What's the biggest difference that I see? People who take action. What's that say?
Massive action.
Massive action, right? He's got it on his arm. Massive action. How many of you guys in here think that you're the more analytical type? Like, you need to know step 7 before you start step 1. Raise your hand. It's okay. You guys drive me absolutely nuts. Kidding. You're doomed. You're doomed. There's never going to know. My business partner, Rachel, who's going to come up here in a second, she is definitely the analytical type. She needs to know step 7 before she knows step 1. She's systems. She's processes. She's all those things. If you haven't been able to tell from the first 10 minutes, I am definitely more the jump out of the plane, build my wings on the way down guy. Okay? And there's good and bad to both of those, right? There's good and bad to both of those. But somewhere in the middle is probably the good place to be, because for those of you that are super analytical, you get analysis paralysis, and you get this thing where you feel like you have to know every single part of something before you can ever start it. And so one thing that I started doing, because I got tired, I don't need to be here, guys. I'm not bragging or being arrogant or anything else. Rachel and I have made so far this year in real estate investing over $8 million. Net in our pocket, done. And I'm some shithead kid from the farm town. So I'm just saying, yeah, thank you. You can clap for that, right? I don't got to be here. I'm here because I think God put me on this earth to do something a whole lot more important than do real estate deals. I've been doing business for 21 years. We've had some cool accomplishments. That first company I built, by the time I was 22 years old, we had close to 100 employees. I'm not bragging. I'm saying that I've had successes, but you go through a thing where money doesn't matter anymore, and it's fun and it's a game, but there's so much more to life than that. And I think that God, you know, the first time I ever got to share our message, and I had people coming up and saying, I had a gentleman come up and say, you know what, I'm going through the same thing in my business that you went through about a year ago, and I've really been thinking about ending my life because I can't take it, and you sharing this story today gave me hope. And I was like, damn, I didn't even want to share this story. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to talk about getting wiped out and losing everything. You know what I mean? And then that's where REI Blueprint was really born. That's where our education, we didn't intend to be educators. We didn't intend to be speakers. And so I share that with you because I want you guys to understand what it takes to get to the finish line. So number two, the ability to take massive action. We've got to be able to take action on our blueprint. What I was saying is what I learned early on when we started doing trainings is that I don't want to sell you guys a course. I don't want to sell you another course that you're going to buy and put on your shelf and never implement. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It'll work for a fraction of people, but it doesn't work for the masses. And what I realized is we need to put people in an environment where they have the opportunity to win. So what we started doing, anytime I do an event like this, we do 4 weeks of follow-up training. It's live. It's not pre-recorded. We do 2 hours a week for 4 weeks, and we call it implementation training. And basically what that is I take the entire room, and we go through every single person on that call, and we set up their game plan for the week of exactly what they need to do that week, and only that week. So it's not a whole step set. It's exactly what you need to do right now from this week, and then I'm going to be on the phone with you again on Monday. I'm going to review what you did right or wrong the first week. We're going to make some corrections, and then I'm going to build on it on week two. Make sense? So you don't have to educate yourself to death. All you need to do is what I tell you to do for the week, and what we found is over 70% of the people that go through that program are making offers on property within that 30 days. Over 70% every time. That's our average. We've been doing it for 5 or 6 years. I don't mean to be a jerk, but I don't know anybody else that can make a claim like that. And the reason why we do it is because people get results. People get results. That's what I want you to get more than anything. I made the claim about what we've done, what we've made in real estate investing this year. Over half of that came from students, people like you guys that were sitting in the room that we actually taught how to do deals, and they came across deals that they couldn't take down on their own. That 94-bed assisted living facility, coaching student. Couldn't take it down on his own. Brought it to us, and we partnered it with him. We just bought a 28-unit apartment building in Tocoa, Georgia with a student. They came across it. They couldn't take it down on their own. We partnered it with them. So my benefit, my reason for being here, if you want to know my selfish reason, is if I teach an army of people how to really do deals, a percent of them are going to call me and ask me to fund it for them. A percent of them are going to call me and ask me to partner it with them. I'm not going to force you to do that, but that's what happens. Does that make sense? All right. So number three. A mentor or coach. I'm not here to sell you guys mentoring and coaching either. What I'm saying is everybody that I know that's super successful at any level has a mentor or coach. Look at any professional athlete in the world. Mentor or coach. Look at any Olympian in the world. Mentor or coach. Look at any high-level CEO that's succeeding at a high level. Mentor or coach, 100% of the time. I am not the smartest guy in the world. I just copy what other smart people do, and I get good results. Make sense? I want you guys to grasp that. A mentor or coach can get you to the finish line 100 times faster. One of the biggest mistakes that I see newer entrepreneurs make is they tell themselves this lie. And I used to do the same thing to myself, and you know if you've done it too. But here's what they say. They say, I'm going to do some deals first. I'm going to make some money first. And then I'll hire a coach or a mentor. It's the dumbest thing in the world to ever say. Everybody says it. I'm just telling you, it's a recipe for failure. Here's why. Because you go out in the wild with no support, no help, you're on an island of your own, and you're probably never even going to close a deal. And you're going to spend a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of stress and a lot of frustration to get there, and you're never going to get there. You know what smart business people do? They hire the mentor or coach before they ever even have the business. You know what the first thing that I did when we put that residential assisted living facility under contract? I know Jack nothing about residential assisted living. Nothing. I know nothing about really the medical world. I know nothing about that business. The very first thing that I did is I started reaching out and finding out who could mentor me and who could guide me and who could tell me what the pitfalls were, what I was going to miss, what I was going to mess up. A friend of mine is friends with the guy who is the largest Medicare Medicaid biller in the state of Missouri. He has 4,000 residential assisted living units. That was my first conversation. My very first conversation was to meet with that guy and say, tell me what I don't know. Tell me what I'm going to mess up. Tell me what I can do and exchange apologies for you taking your time. Guy's a multimillionaire. They do $300 million a year in net for Medicare and Medicaid. We have to freaking head around that. That was my very first thing. My very first thing wasn't to buy this place and try to figure it out and then go find somebody to help me. That's dumb, right? So I want to program you guys in the right way, because we all think that way in the beginning. Find a mentor coach. Doesn't have to be me. I'm not suggesting that it is. Find somebody that's getting the result that you're trying to get and let them get you there. You will get there faster, you will get there cheaper, and you will make a whole lot more money than trying to figure it out on your own. Trust me. Make sense? You guys with me on that? Yes or no?
Yeah.
All right. And then number four, I know it says three and there's four, and that's because I didn't know there was four when I originally came up with this. And number four is a written vision. A written vision for what you want your life to look like, and a written vision for what you want your business to look like. I am not here to try to help you trade a job for a job. I'm here to help you try to buy the thing that you said that you wanted on my very first slide, which was freedom. I want you to have freedom, and I'm not giving you freedom if I trade you a 70-hour work week for a 70-hour work week. That's not what this is. I run an entire mastermind, our legacy group. Every one of them in our original mastermind was working full-time at a corporate America job when they met us. Every single one of them, within a couple of years, was out of corporate America. I'm proud of that. I think that's freaking awesome. Now I have a whole army of people that are making $500,000 a year working 10 or 15 hours a week. That's the truth. You can look it up. You can see it. You can scroll through the Facebook page all the way back 10 years ago, and you can see every one of them posting, just paid my house off, just paid my car off, just quit my job, just did this, over and over. That's way more rewarding to me than flipping another house. So I hope that you can borrow their faith and borrow their confidence and know that that's a possible thing. But that comes from having a written vision. Otherwise, you're going to build something that's in direct conflict for what you want your life to look like. One of the things that was in my vision was that I wanted to be geographically free. What that means to me is I can go where I want to go, wherever I want to go, and I'm not dependent. I don't want to be in St. Louis forever. I don't want to be stuck in St. Louis. And the businesses that I built in the past kept me stuck in St. Louis. But when I started building this real estate business, I hadn't gone through the vision process, and so I built this company again that required me to work 70 hours a week and required me to be there. It's cool to say you flipped 111 houses. What I didn't tell you is that my life still sucked. I still work 70 hours a week, right? So all that in the world doesn't matter if things are wrong. I'm running through this real quick, but I don't need to go in depth, but I shared with you, I started as an entrepreneur at a young age. My very first job was at a collection agency. I worked from there from the time I was 18 until the time I was 21. Anybody in here ever done collections by chance? Anybody? Yeah? You back there? It's a horrible job. It pays well, but it's a terrible job. You get yelled at and cussed at for 8 hours a day every single day. And, I was going to college full-time and working full-time. And my mom was like, you gotta do something. So I'm going to college full-time, working full-time. And all my buddies are at Mizzou getting a four-year degree. And my very first year at that collection agency, I made $70,000 as an 18-year-old kid. Collecting bills, right? Who knew? And my 18-year-old mind, without any real father figure or real guidance in my life, I'm sitting here thinking $70,000 a year, my very first year. My buddies are at Mizzou trying to get a four-year degree. They're going to leave with $150,000 in student loan debt, and they're going to hope to get a job that pays half of what I'm already earning. So I'll just stay here. Heck with that. I'll drop out of college. I don't know if it was the right decision or wrong, but it was my decision at the time. And I saw some people leave and get into real estate, and they were making a whole lot more money than I was making. And so I called down to the Missouri Division of Finance, and I said, what does it take to open a mortgage company in the state of Missouri? And they said, hey, we'll send you the package. And so they sent me this big, huge package in the mail of everything that I need to open a mortgage company. And it was a lot of stuff, but there were two things that I did not have that would prevent me from doing that. One was a $1 million surety bond, which I had no idea what that meant, and it sounded like a big deal. And the other thing was $50,000 in cash. Can you believe that? That's what it took to open a mortgage company in 2000, was $50,000 in cash. Now it's over $1 million to open a mortgage brokerage in liquid cash that the owner has to have. It was $50,000 then. So what did I do? I just put my head down. I lived like a hermit for the next year, and I saved up the $50,000. I found out that you can get a surety bond for a couple $1,000s if your credit score was good, which mine was. And a year later, April 15, 2001, I became an entrepreneur for the first and last time. That was the last time I had a job, 2 weeks after my 21st birthday. And what I realized real fast is that I had spent that whole entire year figuring out how to open the business, and I had spent zero time on how to run the business. So it's kind of, that's the jump out of the plane, build your wings on the way down thing. That was me. So my very first day, I wake up in the morning, and I'm all excited that I own my own business now, and it's going to be great. And then I have this sinking feeling of, oh, my God, what did you just do? You don't even know how to take a loan application. And you own a mortgage. And I didn't. This is how crazy this shit is, right? So I don't even know how to do the business that I'm in, and so I'm getting like sick because I've got a mortgage, I bought a condo, I've got a car payment, I got bills, I don't have a ton of money in the bank, I just opened this business, and now I'm freaking out like, what in the hell did I just do? And about this time I'm having this meltdown, my doorbell rings. And it's this guy named Jason Job who worked with me at the collection agency. And he's standing on my doorstep and he's like, hey man, and I'm like, hey man, and why aren't you at work? And he goes, man, I just quit that place. I want to come do this mortgage thing with you. And I'm like, oh, my God, no, you don't. No, you don't. You absolutely don't. I can't pay you. I made a big mistake. I'm going to be begging for my job back. So call them. Tell them you, like, got, you know, your car broke down. I'll drop you off. You know, we'll figure it out. And he's like, no, I want to do the thing. So he comes up, and we're in the spare bedroom of my condo. By 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there's 9 of us in the spare bedroom of my condo. Right, crazy, right? We're calling all of our friends and family, asking them if they want to refinance. And we have no idea what we're doing. We screw up all their loans. We mess everything up. We piss off everybody that we know because we messed all the stuff up. But it's a good thing there's underwriters and processors to clean up your mess, because that's what happened. And we ended up closing 8 loans that very first month. And everybody agreed to forfeit their paycheck if we could get into an office. I guess they didn't like the spare bedroom in my condo. So we got an office, and we grew quick. I got education. I put my money where my mouth is. I went out and I went to this seminar in Las Vegas where this guy named Greg Frost was speaking, and he sold this whole system of how his mortgage company worked, and we bought it. And I brought it back to St. Louis, and it had how his underwriting department worked. It was his blueprint. It was his blueprint for his business, right, of exactly what each department did inside of his business. And we came back and we implemented it, and we grew from the spare bedroom of my condo to around 100 employees. We grew from no revenue to about $20 million a year in annual revenue. I remember being 22 years old, driving to the bank with $800,000 in title checks in my pocket, thinking that I was God's gift to the world. I did all the things that these accountants and lawyers said that I should do, you know, build a big house, lease cars, do all that kind of stuff. For anybody that thinks I'm bragging, I promise the story's going to, like, crash and burn in a second. So I got you guys, too. So that's what happened, and things built and things grew, and I didn't mismanage our money financially. I spent way less than we were earning. We did things that way that they said we were supposed to do them. And then what happened? And then one day came, right? 2007 came. And overnight, we went from printing money to losing money. That's how quick it happened. There was no warning. There was no heads up. There was no, hey, this could possibly happen. We didn't know until after it had started happening. I got to the office at 5:30 in the morning. I had 9 do not fund requests from Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. We had 9 purchase loans closing that day. I remember it specifically. And every one of them had a do not fund request. We didn't know why. I called the guy that's my mentor. He's like, Jason, we got the same thing going on here in Albuquerque. I've got no idea either. Nobody knew what was going on. And then you started to see it on the news break, and then Lehman Brothers, and then all these different banks, and everybody started going, all this stuff happened. And we went from bringing in millions of dollars a month to losing close to $100,000 a month. And I lost close to $100,000 a month for 2.5 years. Until I didn't have any more money to lose. And then I had to make a decision, do I want to pay the office rent or do I want to pay my mortgage? And I made the decision to pay the office rent because there's no way I was ever going to pay the mortgage unless I got that business back up. There's no job that I was going to get was going to pay for the stuff that I had. And so I made that decision. 120 days later, bam, foreclosure. Missouri is a 21-day auction state. So the day that they file for foreclosure, 21 days later, you're on the street. I've done hundreds of short sale flips. Every single one of them, they're a couple years delinquent on their mortgage. I was 120 days delinquent, bam, homeless. Cars repoed the whole bit. Oh, yeah, and then in Missouri, when your million-dollar house sells at the auction for $500,000, you still owe that other $500,000. It's called a deficiency judgment that we have in Missouri. So you still owe that. And, oh, yeah, around the same time, This is when the government came out and said, we should probably increase the licensing requirements for mortgage companies, which I agree. I mean, that's what they should have done from the very beginning. But part of that, it's called NMLS, National Mortgage Licensing System or whatever, right? That's what they came out with at that time. And by the way, in that bill, it said that you couldn't have any delinquent or default debt in order to get your license. So now the state of Missouri won't issue me my mortgage company license. They're revoking my license because I have that $500,000 deficiency judgment. And then they tell me the only way, and now I have my home loan with Flagstar Bank, which is a bank that I sold a lot of mortgages to. I was friends with the executive vice president. They came to, we were a big seller. We're the number one rural housing lender in Missouri. I mean, we were a pretty big company, and I had good relationships with those people, and they knew what was happening. And I had many conversations around, hey, guys, I'm losing my house, but I'm still going to pay you back the money. I had an in-writing payment agreement from Flagstar Bank to repay the $500,000 deficiency judgment that they agreed on and that I was already paying on, and that was not good enough for the state of Missouri to give me my license. It had to be paid in full, the whole judgment, because it was a judgment. So he said the only thing that you could do was file Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and I thought that was the craziest thing in the world, that you will license me to do business in this state if I file bankruptcy on my debt, but if I do the right thing and pay it back, you won't. But I've got employees, I've got bills to feed, you know, people to feed, and the right thing to do. I'm not proud of this, but that's a copy of my Chapter 7 bankruptcy. It's October 10th, 2010. You can see it up there. I didn't black anything out. My Social Security number's up there. That's a little crappy farmhouse out in Troy, Missouri that I had to rent when I became homeless. It's all the real deal right up there. There's nothing missing. I didn't black anything out. I share that with you to not for sympathy, but to show you where I was when I started my real estate investing journey. That same month, October 2010, was the month that I went and listened to this guy named Sean McCloskey teach a four-day short sale boot camp in St. Louis. And it's the first and only time he's ever taught that training for free. And that was the only reason I was there, because had it cost $100, I wouldn't have been able to have been there. I didn't even know him from Adam. I went to that training, and I knew in that moment that I needed a new recipe. I needed a new blueprint. I needed a new business to go after. So Rachel and I sat there for 4 days, and we took hundreds of pages of notes. And all I was trying to do was document his exact recipe for what he was doing in his business. The guy had already closed like 300 short sale deals, and he made a lot of money. I just needed to copy what he was doing. Right? Does that make sense to you guys? You with me on that? I didn't have to understand the business at a high level. I just needed to copy what he was doing so that I could get out of this hole that I was in and create similar results. And that very next year, this is 2011, that was October 2010 that I went to my first real estate investing seminar. That very next year, we flipped 111 houses and we netted $3.6 million. Can't live on it, but it's a start, right? I'm just kidding. I'm really not an asshole. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just trying to be funny here all week. But what I want you to get from that, I'm not saying this is right, and I'm not going to say that I didn't work 70 hours a week and that my life was the way I wanted it to be, but those are my real tax returns. I didn't black anything out. I mean, you go up there and look. The top one says $2.2 million. The next one says $1.2 million. The next one says $200,000. I share that with you because that's what's possible when you make a decision to do something different. You guys with me on that? Yes or no? That's what's possible when you decide to do something that's different. It's what's possible when you decide to take action on the stuff that you're learning. Most of you in here probably have more intelligence around some of this stuff than I did. I found a recipe or a blueprint. Remember what I said? I found a recipe or a blueprint. I went and took massive freaking action on it. We busted our ass every single day. Me and that girl back there, we would stay up to, and we're not together. She was at her house, I'm at my house. We're business partners, we're not life partners. She would stay up all night long, handwriting envelopes, and so would I. And next morning, we'd mail them out, and then calls would come in, and I'd run and go meet with these sellers. And after I met with them and I got the contract signed, I'd bring them back to her, and she'd process them, and she'd get them to the lender, and she'd negotiate. And then we'd make $30,000, and then we'd do another one, and we'd make $30,000, and we just kept rolling and rolling and rolling. We did 111 deals, and we dug ourselves out of that freaking hole. And so I share that with you because I want to encourage you that this is what happens. I'm not saying you need to do 111 deals. I'm not saying that I want to do 111 deals this day. You know what's pretty cool? Doing 3 or 4 deals a month to pay you $30,000 a pop with no real overhead, not a lot of employees, stupid simple. That's cool with me. Super cool. How much money do you need? And then when you start building those types of things, you can start doing other things. We have a hard money lending business that we pull a 30% annual return on. That's our retirement account. We've taken our flip profits, and we started lending out to other real estate investors, and we earn 30% annual on that money. You can't get that in the stock market. And it's safe and it's secured by real estate. And then we started doing multifamily, and we've gotten into apartment buildings, and now residential assisted living. It just keeps growing, and the numbers just keep getting bigger. But that's what happens when you take action and you really start to move on it. Make sense? Yeah. All right, so I want to jump into this. I want to introduce Rachel. Rachel, you want to come up here and share for a little bit? Everybody give her a round of applause, huh? You won't find many people that have, she's personally participated in somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 real estate transactions over the last 21 years. You will find very few people that know the ins and outs of anything real estate more than her. I'm blessed to have her as a partner, as a friend.
Oh, you're waiting for me to say something kind of rude when he said he's blessed to have me. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the marketing stuff.
Let's do it.
Did I keep the 20 minutes or did I go way over?
Not real sure. Is this your clicker?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you went way over, but 20 minutes,
that's
I knew what would happen,
that's
right?
That's what I do, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys, good morning. So we're going to talk about the four strategies that are working the best right now. I'm not saying there are not other strategies that will work that will get you to a deal, but you'll see a common theme with the type of marketing that Jason and I do. I want the time that I have to invest into my business to yield me the highest return, right? So my focus is always on people that have a high likelihood of needing to sell a property, right? I could do non-owner ops, I could MLS, I could bandit sign, and I'm not knocking any of those strategies or saying that they don't work. What I'm saying is I want to go directly to someone that I have a very good chance that they need to get out from underneath this property, okay? So we're going to talk about some of those right now. So the four strategies, and knowing what the exact marketing blueprint is to make those people call, respond to my email, respond to the Facebook message that I sent them, what exactly that looks like. So probate, anybody in here currently marketing to probates right now in your real estate business? Awesome. Okay. So this is a great strategy for those of you that are not familiar with what probate is. It's the court process when someone passes away where the will is proven to be either valid or invalid. And this is, and if they pass away and they don't have a will, it's still going to go through probate, right? The only time they avoid that is if they're in a trust. So most people, when they pass away, it's going to go through the probate court. Good news for us is that this is public knowledge information, okay? Why would we market to probates? As a real estate investor, what would be the benefits? Why would we be a great buyer for someone that has inherited a home? What are some reasons?
They're motivated.
Quick sale.
They could be out-of-state owners,
right, because there's nothing that says that the personal representative or the executor of that case actually even lives in the same state that the property's in. Why would I not want to list this house on MLS? Why would there be a reason that it may not hit the MLS?
They just don't want to deal with it. Somebody passed in the family,
mm-hmm. And
they've got busy lives, and they're somewhere else, and whatever.
Yeah.
And they don't want to deal with it, and they just want, here, you take it, we're done, we want to close this up. And
move on and make it simple?
Yeah. And they're going, they may be going through a lot of, sadness and that kind of thing, and they don't want...
to deal with it, the process of it, right? Full of stuff. I love it. Full of stuff is a big reason. There's such a burden, and who's coming over and helping get all of this 30, 40 years worth of stuff out of the house? Who's doing that? As a real estate investor, you take what you want, what you have an emotional connection to, what your memories are attached to, and I'm going to take care of the rest, right? Your traditional buyer wants all your stuff out of the house when you leave, right? So what else? What else could be happening? You said maintenance. It's old. The kitchen is from the 90s. It's not up to fair market value condition. Sometimes, the roof had needed to be replaced for many years, but it was just something that they never got around to. There's a lot of reasons why marketing to probates as a real estate investor, we're their best buyer. We're not always their best buyer. Some of them are in great condition, and they should be put on the MLS, and that's what they'll do with it. But there are a lot of them where we are their best option, okay? So what types of properties will you find with probates? Primarily, it's going to be single-family residents. So for those of you that is your focus, this is a great strategy for you because that will be the most common type of property that you're going to find marketing to probates as a single-family residence. One thing I want to talk about is yesterday when we spoke, there was someone before we got started, Deborah, she's not in here today, but she came up to me at the back of the room, and she said, you and Jason spoke last year at this RIA, and And you helped me. You gave me a nugget that helped me close the probate deal that I had been working on for over a year, and I was able to flip that house and make $30,000. And I said, well, you're welcome. Do I get money back for that, or do I get in on the deal? Just kidding. But I said, well, what was the nugget? I want to know what it was. And she said, you talked about who to market to with probates. And I was constantly reaching out to the personal rep or executor, some different name, same person, the whole entire time, and could never make contact. And you said to reach out to the heirs also. My goal with my marketing is to get in contact with anybody that can help me gain access to that home, right? So I don't care if you're the person that the court decided was in charge or the will said was in charge. It's okay if you're their brother or sister or just an heir on the property. I'll talk to the attorney that is representing the probate case as well, because don't they have the ability to get me in that home? They absolutely do. And she did that. She found the heir. She got in contact, I think, with a brother that was in Minnesota or Michigan or something like that. And that's how she was able to get into the house. So you have to know there's so much to a marketing blueprint. It's about what you say in your messaging. It's the different communication avenues that you utilize, but it's also who do you actually market to. And if you're only putting yourself in a box where you might have four heirs, one personal rep, and an attorney, that's five, six people, I think. I can't do the math. I think it's six people, I said, and you're only reaching out to one, what are your chances of making contact? They're lower, but if I reach out to all six of them, have I increased my chances? Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about what our blueprint is what it really looks like. We're all about lead exhaustion. We utilize multiple communication avenues because you could never predict what someone's preferred way is to communicate. How many of you guys, the phone rings and you answer pretty much every single call, or if you get a voicemail, it's returned probably the same day that you get it? Show your hands. Be proud of that. I am not you, but that's great. How many of you guys' text message? All your text messages are read, returned, you're all over those. You're all in it. Okay, some of you guys. Who are the clean email people? All your emails are organized, they're replied to, you're on it. Who checks Facebook Messenger at least a couple times a week? Show your hands. A couple times a week. Who checks the mail every day and actually opens it? So it's a little bit different for everybody, right? Your preferred way to communicate. And I can never predict how I'll get in contact with Carrie, so I might as well try every single way that I possibly can, because all I need her to do is respond to one of those.
Yep.
That's it. One of them.
I want you guys to write something down. 80% of sales happen after the fifth contact. That's a Harvard Business Study, not a Jason statistic. 80% of sales happen after the fifth contact. 80% of salespeople, write this down, 80% of salespeople give up after one. 80% of salespeople give up after one contact. 80% of sales happen after five. That little nugget just in and of itself could make you a couple hundred grand in the next year if you just do that. If you only do that, you could be the crappiest salesperson on earth. But if you follow up, 80% of your competition is not. You've just edged yourself against 80% of the other investors that are skilled, that are not skilled, that are anything else, if you just honor that.
So along with those different communication avenues, you can reach out in all of those ways, but if your messaging is not messaging that's going to get someone to actually respond to you, will you get a different result? Absolutely. The way I leave a message for a probate versus a pre-foreclosure is completely different. From a voicemail to the Facebook message to the letter, everything is different. So your messaging has got to be something that's proven and actually works. And we do these 4 weeks of calls that Jason talked about, and we'll have someone that says, I did all this marketing, I didn't hear from anybody. And so we really start digging into the metrics. Okay, so when you say you did all this marketing, what does all this marketing look like? Is it 30 or is it 300? You know, and we really get into the numbers. And when the numbers make sense, we know that something else happened. And so we're like, what happened? And most oftentimes, they changed the verbiage on the messaging. They tweaked it. You may have better messaging than we do. But this is proven and it works. So cash some checks and then test your way before you make those changes. Because it's written that way for a reason.
Every time we do this, somebody changes it up and they even say, no, I didn't change it at all. I say, okay, well, send me a copy of it. And when I get back, it's like this, my letter is one page and their letter is three pages and it's got a picture of their dog and their family and all this other stuff. Again, I'm not great at everything. One thing that we've done at a high level over the last 21 years is market. We've built our mortgage company around marketing. We've generated 1,000 inbound loan app leads per week at the mortgage company, 1,000 a week application leads. So what I'm saying there is you can spend a lot of time and a lot of money figuring out how to market, or you can copy a blueprint that's already getting a result. And to Rachel's point, copy the one that's already getting the result, throw a couple hundred grand in your checking account, and then split test, and then write your own copy, then write your own stuff and say, you know what, I think I can do better than Jason and Rachel, because guess what? We have students that do it all the time. Matt and Tina Hodkavich that are students of ours that are now coaches for us, they rewrote all of our Facebook messaging, and theirs pulled higher than ours, so now we teach theirs. I'm not too proud. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get results. That's all I care about. I don't have to be the smartest guy. I want to learn and evolve all the time. But my point is, don't change it. Keep everything exactly the same as it is and get your results first and then start to change things. Make sense? You guys with me? Say yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So big thing with us, you know, Jason talked about the 4 weeks of calls. And the course has got everything you need in it. It's got all the scripts you need, all the messaging, exactly what it needs to say, when you're going to send it out. It helps you, gives you tips on how to locate your data. The thing it's not capable of doing is holding you accountable to taking a task and implementing quickly, taking massive action on what you need to do. There are people who, they will, in one day, locate their data, pay for the subscription if it's necessary, and drop their first round of marketing. And there are others, it will take them 3.5 weeks to get that done. And accountability is such a big part of your success. And for those who are the analyzers like me, right?
Wow.
Nothing wrong with it. You need to be in the middle somewhere, though. And so as being an entrepreneur, I don't have anyone that says, hey, Rachel, stop analyzing everything to death and take action on it. So I have to do that a little bit for myself. And also my coach helps me with that, right? Says, you only get to dive into this so far, and then you must take action on it. And that's why we do these 4 weeks of calls. So week one, we're going to help you determine which marketing strategy is the best fit for you. There are four different ones, but it doesn't mean that they're all going to be right for you. Some of you might be interested in pre-foreclosures, but if you have no time to be on the phone with the bank, that may not lead to your success. So we're going to tell you which one is probably the best fit for you. Where are you marketing? What is your marketing area? Where are we going to find the data? Once I find the data, what am I pulling from it? Who am I marketing to, right? So we're going to walk you through all of that, and then also how to find missing information, because every area gives different info. Some of you may be able to get the decedent's name and the personal rep, but you can't find the heirs. We're going to show you how to fill in that missing information on week one of those calls. Oh, we're going to go right over this.
Let's talk about pre-foreclosure short sale. I think it says pre-foreclosure. I call it short sale. They're not the same, but I'll explain to you the difference. You know, we grew up, Rachel and I got our education at a time where there weren't really as many pre-foreclosure deals. They were all short sale deals. Now we're in a market where there's not as many short sale deals per se, because what a short sale is when somebody's upside down in the house, when they owe more than what it's worth. Make sense? And there's not a lot of houses that are upside down right now. But what there is there are a lot of foreclosures that are coming. Sorry, I got little ears and these things fall off. There are a lot of short sale deals coming. This is important to know. There's more FHA loan delinquencies right now than there was in the economic crash of 2007. There are more people that are delinquent on their FHA loan right now than there was during the market crash. That's significant, guys. Remember what happened in 2007? You remember that whole, all those foreclosures? Now, there are not more people that are delinquent on conventional loans, but there are more people that are delinquent on FHAs. So I don't think we're going to see another 2007, but we are going to see something significant. We're going to see 10 to 20 times the amount of daily foreclosures that we've been seeing for the last few years. That means there's going to be a small gold rush. That means for people that understand how to do this investing strategy, there's an opportunity to make a lot of money. The reason why we made $3.6 million in 2010 wasn't because we were super smart. It was because there was a market shift, and we took advantage of it. And that doesn't happen all the time. That only happens every once in a while, once in every 10 years maybe. So all of you guys that are sitting in this room right now have a choice to make. You get to choose, do I want to take advantage of that windfall? Because I'm telling you right now, it's coming, and people that are going to take advantage of it, you guys just told me in the last 2 weeks things have been ticking up, and the response has been going crazy, and everything changed. That's Dan and Carrie. They're coaching students of ours from St. Louis. They do pre-foreclosure short sale stuff, and they're successful at it. And we were just at dinner last night, and they were talking about how it's already shifting. It's already starting to change right now as we speak. So you can either wait until that passes you by, or you can take advantage of it and change your life. I hope that you take advantage of it and change your life. We were in the right place at the right time. I didn't know that anything cool was happening in 2010. It just so happened to be when we got wiped out. But I can see it this time. So I hope that you guys choose to take advantage of it. But there are just as many people, when we say pre-foreclosure, this will blow your mind, but there are just as many people that are 2 weeks away from foreclosure sale, and they owe $150,000 on their house, and it's worth $300,000. And you will say to yourself, why on earth would they not just sell their house? Why didn't they just sell their house? They have $150,000 worth of equity. Why? Because what do we do when we're in an extremely painful and stressful situation? What do human beings do? Yeah, no, they put their head in the sand and pretend it's not happening. We all do this, yes? I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what a lot of people do. And I went through foreclosure myself. I did the same damn thing. Nobody came to help me. Nobody knocked on my door and said there was something I could do to help you. If they would have, I would have entertained it. But they didn't. Nobody offered any help. So what I'm saying is people have equity in their home every day, and it goes to foreclosure auction, and they lose it all because they didn't know anything else to do, and nobody contacted them. This to this day is probably one of my favorite real estate investing strategies. We've made more money. We've done more than 400 house flips at this point. Probably 200 to 300 of them were pre-foreclosure short sales. So this is where we really got our start. Every six-figure deal, every deal that we've netted over $100,000 in net profit on, with the exception of apartment buildings and multifamily and stuff like that, but single-family homes that we've netted over $100,000 on, which has been a lot, every one of them has been a short sale. So I say that with you because there's a ton of opportunity in it, and it's probably one of the lowest-risk investing strategies that there is. What type of properties will I find with pre-foreclosure? You'll find a little bit of everything, and I know that everybody's looking for a little bit of everything. So what you'll predominantly find is single-family residents, right? You'll find your fix and flip, your stuff that you want to keep as a rental, your single-family homes. You will also find some apartment building stuff. You'll find some commercial stuff and other things, especially over the next couple of years as that tide starts to turn, but mainly single-family stuff. This thing's driving me nuts. Okay, so I want to talk about what we're going to cover in our week two implementation call. I hope every single one of you guys is on these 4 weeks of calls. It will be an absolute game changer for you. If you really want to do this real estate investing stuff, you have to put yourself in an environment where people are holding you accountable and making you do what you need to do. And so we constructed this on purpose so that people will get results. So week two, we're going to really get into the marketing communication avenues. We're going to help you set up a specific marketing campaign for your business. We go through each person individually, and we help you set up a marketing plan that's specific for your business. So remember when I said you need to know what your business is doing every single day in order to achieve the result that you're trying to get? So we track metrics and for all of our coaching students. And what I mean by that, and this is what we're going to have anybody that participates in this do, is we're going to track your metrics. So I'm going to tell you this real fast, but column number one is marketing out. Column number two is inbound response. Column number three, out of the inbound response, how many appointments did we set? Out of the appointments that we set, column four, how many offers did we make? Out of the offers that we made, column five is how many offers accepted. Out of the offers accepted, column six is how many deals closed. Okay? And so when I'm tracking those things inside your business, I can act like a doctor and I can fix what's broken. So when you say this isn't working for me, I'm going to say how much marketing went out. Well, Jason, I sent out 100 pieces. Okay, great. Column number two, inbound response. How much inbound response did you have? Well, I had 10 calls. Well, 10 calls out of 100 pieces of marketing, that's a 10% response rate. By the way, anybody in here know what the average direct mail response rate is? 1 to 2%. 1 to 2%. I experience, and the people that implement what we teach, experience a minimum of a 10% response rate. In some markets, 20, 30, 40%. In markets where we don't speak a lot, in markets where we don't have a lot of students, 20, 30, 40% response rate. But I can guarantee if you implement all the things that we're teaching you in this recipe, you'll pull at least a 10% response rate.
That's 10 times what direct mail does. That means 10 times the customers, 10 times the homeowners, 10 times the revenue. You guys getting that? You guys with me on that? You understand how important that is to your business? I mean, it's absolutely insane. So we're going to cover a marketing plan that's specifically for you. And we're going to get into, remember I said 80% of sales happen after 5 contacts. So my goal is to get to 5 contacts faster than anybody else, right? So how do I do that? How do we do 111 deals our first year? Because we implemented this thing in its entirety. We didn't just do direct mail. We didn't just do outbound calling. We automated a marketing system that can send ringless voicemail, that sends a Facebook message to their inbox. I'm not talking about paid Facebook ads. I'm talking about finding the seller or the seller's family on Facebook and sending them a series of inbox Facebook messages, okay? We use LinkedIn. We have an entire email campaign. We have a letter campaign. And then we also utilize text. So I share that with you. I know that can sound overwhelming. We're going to show you how to automate all this so that you're not having to do it on yourself. Because I'm not the smartest computer guy in the world. And I can promise you, I am not sitting there and typing emails and text messages and anything else. It's an automated system. I may take the inbound response and convert it. But I'm not handling all this. It's automated, and there's a way to automate it. Does that make sense, you guys? You with me? Am I overwhelming you? You with me? You tracking with me? Good? Good with me? Good. Thank you. All right.
Let's talk about evictions a little bit. Yeah, so we've had that moratorium that we've all, you know, been hearing so much about. I guess not as much as we were earlier this year and all of last year, but we all know what that is. Expelling someone from a property for whatever reason that they're being evicted, non-payment, criminal activity, whatever reasons there are that someone would be evicted from a home. So, or be a home, an apartment, anything like that. So what would be some benefits to marketing to someone, the landlord, when they filed evictions?
They're tired of being a landlord,
right? You look at most people who have a rental portfolio. Do you think they love every single property that they own?
No.
There are many of them that say, I've got a couple of these that I would give away, perhaps, that I'm so sick of dealing with them. What other reasons? Why else?
Might be vacant.
Sometimes the tenants tear it up before they leave.
I was going to say, generally there's not a cleaning crew that comes in when people are being evicted, and so there are repairs oftentimes that have to happen as well. And they may just be tired of dealing with it. There's also the side of they might be filing an eviction on this particular unit or this home, and they may like that property. Maybe they just got someone that fell on hard times. Maybe they didn't do a good enough screening and they didn't get a very good tenant in there. They may be completely in love with this property, but they have other ones that they don't, right? So there are so many benefits to marketing to these landlords. We also market to these attorneys that are also involved in the eviction process. Jason and I acquired a multi-unit property from someone that did not perform on a hard money loan that we had lent out. And so we had to foreclose on them. And then we had criminal activity, and we had to do a couple of evictions. We would have sold that property at a huge discount. We didn't get any marketing at all.
Not a single person.
Not a phone call, not
a letter,
email.
Not a postcard, nothing.
Absolutely nothing, because we would have sold it. We were traveling a lot. We didn't want to do the rehab, but we had to end up doing that because we knew if we were going to maximize our profits and sell it on the market, it needed to be in somewhat market condition. It couldn't go the way it sat. So there are so many people that pay absolutely no attention, and do we have delays on eviction filings right now? There's a ton of data as well.
Two years their evictions have had a moratorium now. So you've got an entire backlog on the pre-foreclosure and on this eviction thing. You've got a 2-year backlog of just the normal people who get foreclosed on and get evicted. Much less, what did we have? A freaking pandemic, right? I mean, we had this crazy thing that's never happened really in the history of the world that caused a lot of people to get late on their mortgages and their rent. So not only do we have 2 years worth of just the normal people who default, we've got an entire pandemic of people who lost jobs and lost things that this presents an opportunity for us to help them transition, but also be able to do real estate at the same time.
Well, and I think that when we look at people with rental portfolios, some people have bought very smart. They're in good positions, and if they experienced no payments, they were okay for a while. But we have some people who were highly leveraged on these properties. There was nothing in any of this eviction moratorium that went into place that was just for landlords that owned properties free and clear, right? There, many of them had mortgages on it. And so maybe even if this is a property that they liked, they're in a financial situation now on this property because of everything that's happened that they will be looking to unload more than what they ever were pre-pandemic. Because it's financially hurt them personally at this point. So on week three of the implementation calls, we're going to talk all about tools, systems, and automations. You know, Jason laid out the implementation of the blueprint and what that looks like, but we want you spending your time that supports that dollar per hour. Like Jason said, how much money do you want real estate investing to pay you in the next year? It's important that you're doing the right task in your business. And if you're the person that's pulling the data and you're the person that's pushing out every single outbound marketing, is that the highest and best use of your time?
No.
And how many of you guys work a 9-to-5 right now? Do you do every single position at your job? No. That's not efficient. Maybe some of you feel like you do, probably, right? But it's not efficient. It's not the way you set up a business. And so you shouldn't be doing every single job in your real estate investing business. And we'll show you some extremely affordable ways that you can outsource, automate, as well as delegate a lot of this marketing that needs to go out and some other things. So you're spending your time having conversations and going on homeowner appointments because that's what gets you paid, right? That's where you actually benefit. So we'll talk about that. We will also find, hire, and train a virtual and local assistant. Some of you are in a place where you need that, and you maybe don't have the knowledge on how to determine who is a good fit for you. And we'll walk through that, knowing who you are, what your strengths are. You likely need someone that's opposite. If Jason and I were both the jump out of the plane and build your wings on the way down, do you think that life would look different for us today?
It'd be way more exciting.
We might be in jail. I don't know. You know, but it would be drastically different. But our partnership works really well because our strengths are opposite, and so they complement each other really well. And you need that in an assistant, whether it's virtual or local. Generally, someone that they're very good in the areas where you are weak because the business still needs those things. And so we've got to make sure we don't leave holes there. Call conversion training. There are so many different objections that you're going to hear when you're on the phone. And many of us get on the phone and we start talking about ourselves. We say who we are and how great we are at real estate investing and how we help people. And all of that is wonderful. But in reality, what you need to master is being a good listener. As a real estate investor, my opinion is you're a problem solver, and if you're busy talking, you miss the problem. You didn't hear it because you were so busy talking about how wonderful and great you are and how you're going to be able to help them. But if you're quiet, you'll be able to hear what their problem is, and then you're able to be the solution and bring that to light for them, okay?
I think this is one of the most important things that newer investors struggle with is call conversion. So here's what we're going to do for you guys without a doubt. We're going to make your phone ring. We're going to make your phone ring with motivated sellers. That will absolutely happen 100% if you implement what we teach you to do. The next step after your phone starts ringing is, oh, shit, now we've got these people that are calling. What do we say, right? What do we do? And there is a very specific process to taking that phone call and converting it into a face-to-face appointment. I am not going to try to sell something that I have the potential to earn $80,000 on over the phone. We're going to meet face-to-face. So the objective of that call that comes in is to what? It's to convert it into a face-to-face appointment, yes? That's how we buy houses, face-to-face. So there's a sales process, and I understand that not everybody in here has spent the last 20 years in a sales position or in a sales role. And so it is something that you need to learn. It is something that you need to understand. There is a very specific process to that. And so I want to walk you guys through that process. You know, one of the biggest things that I see newer investors do is get stuck up on like a knee-jerk response. So when you go into a department store and you're looking for something and the salesperson comes up to you and says, hey, can I help you find something? And you say, just looking. Nope, I mean, just like that. Nope, just looking.
But I'm not just looking. I'm looking for a pair of pants because I got this thing to go to this weekend. You know what I mean? And I'm not just looking at all. So a bad salesperson says, okay, sounds good. Well, if you need anything, I'll be right over here. You know that person? It happens all the time, right? The really good salesperson says, they affirm the objection. Oh, you're just looking? Of course. Take your time. Yeah, look all you want. If you don't mind me asking, what are you looking for? Maybe I can point you in the right direction. And I say, well, shit, actually, I'm looking for a pair of pants. And she's like, oh, my God, we just got this whole new shipment of some really cool jeans. Come here, let me show you. And so she walked me over here, and I'm like, cool, because I'm a guy, and I don't really know how to do this anyway, right? So now I'm going over here, and next thing you know, she's like, this would look good on you. And now I'm walking out of Neiman Marcus with a $2,000 bill. That's what a good salesperson does, right? That's how that goes. We have to be that person. I don't want you guys... Your instinct is going to be when they say, oh, you know, we're gonna fix it up and sell it on our own. Your instinct is gonna be, okay, well, thank you for your time. Bye. That's not how we do it.
How many of you would not call someone back? You're on the phone and they say, oh, we're actually gonna rehab this property ourselves. Show of hands, how many of you guys are not calling them back and that's a dead deal for you? They're not rehabbing it themselves 9 out of 10. Okay, you continue to follow up until that property is sold, until it is no longer there, because that's the intent. Their intent, Carrie's intent, is to rehab that house. But Carrie works a full-time job. She also thinks it's $10,000 to bring this house up to fair market value, and after we walk the property, it's really $35,000. And she doesn't know a ton of contractors either that are going to come in and get that work done.
It's a knee-jerk response.
You have to follow up always. It's just a way to get off the phone.
Or we're going
to
listen with a realtor or any of these things. It's their knee-jerk response, and you have to become a professional at overcoming those objections.
Yeah.
You have to become a professional at digging past those things and finding out what really is going on so you can solve the real problem that they have. It's not what first comes out of their mouth.
And then lastly, we'll be talking about the homeowner appointment. We've been on so many homeowner appointments, and after a while, you know, there's some you go on and you really don't want the house. It's not the house that you want, even if they were giving it away. Maybe it's not a property that you actually want. But most of the homeowner appointments, we want them. If the price is right and the numbers work out, we want to be the buyer of that deal. And Jason and I really started analyzing, how did we get an accepted offer on this property, but not on this one and not on this one? What did we do differently? What did we say differently? What was our process when we were in the house walking that property with the seller? What was different? And so we've really created a blueprint of, it doesn't matter what homeowner appointment I'm going on, they all are ran the same way with the exception of pre-foreclosure because the sitting down part is a little bit different. The numbers are a little bit different. But my process is extremely similar on every single one of those, and it leads to that accepted offer, accepted offer, accepted offer, because I'm educating them. I'm getting their buy-in on every single number as we're going through it. It's a completely different process than being the real estate investor that walks in the house, snapping some pictures, talking about what needs to be done, and then sliding an offer across the table, if that even happens. Even better, I love, I'm going to email you an offer. I'm not emailing you an offer. We're taking this offer, and we're getting accepted right now while I'm here because I'm busy and I'm moving on to the next deal, right? We're going to make the most of our time. There's no reason to go back. They're ready in this moment. You'll never have them more interested in you than you do right now when you're face-to-face with them. So we'll be walking you through that week 3. If you follow the assignments of every single one of these weeks, you will be having conversations and be on homeowner appointments within this time frame. If you're implementing and taking massive action. All right, you want to talk about local banks, Jason, before we go over time, probably?
Yep. Local banks, this is a strategy that you probably have not heard of. This is a strategy that a coaching student of ours kind of came up with on accident, and he bought 72 properties in the last 18 months using this in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. A super, super cool strategy. It's crazy because I'm generally a super optimistic guy, even in the face of adversity and bad things. I'm just a happy, optimistic, I see the good side, glasses full person 100% of the time. But Doug, when he was calling me about this, he's like, hey man, so he's a farmer, generational farmer. They've got thousands of acres in Iowa. He lives in the middle of nowhere. He saw me speak week in D.C., and he's like, hey, I want to hire you to coach me. And I said, why? And he said, because I own a farming business, and for like 6 months out of the year, we have close to $1 million in cash that just sits in the bank. And then when it's time to do, you know, when it's time to plant, we have to buy all the seed, and we spend all the money. Every penny of it we spend on seed and stuff, and then we cross our fingers and hope that when harvest comes in and the numbers are good and it's trading at the right price, that we make the money back and we get the money, you know, and we make a little bit of profit, and that's how the farming business works. But we have a bulk of time where we have a lot of cash that's just sitting doing nothing. And I want to do something smart with the cash. I want to make money on the cash while I have downtime, and I don't know that I want to farm forever. I might want to do something different, and so I really want to learn this real estate stuff. I said, okay, fine. One of the first things that I decide before taking on a new coaching student is what their expectations are, because some people's expectations are crazy and their resources are none, and I don't want that responsibility. I don't need your money. I don't want to take on the burden. So I ask him, you know, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? What are your expectations in this relationship? And he said, well, I'd like to close 5 to 7 deals a month. And I was like, okay, because sometimes I sit down with somebody and they say, well, I want to make $5 million my first year and my checking account is negative $100. You know what I mean? And I don't know how I'm going to fulfill that. But 5 to 7 deals a month I can absolutely do. I do it in every market across the country. So I said, sure, no problem. My next question is, what's your population? What population? Because that's where our data comes from, right? That's where our leads come from. Probate, pre-foreclosure, short sale, evictions, all that stuff has to do with population. There are statistical numbers based on your population of how many of those there are in any given market. And so I ask him what his population is, and he says, well, about 2,000 people. And I said 2,000 people what? And he said 2,000 people in the area. And I'm like, and how big an area? And he said, well, like within an hour radius. And now I'm like, shit, scratch the 5 to 7 deals a month thing. Do 5 to 7 deals the rest of your life with that population, because there's not enough population. And so we he's like, you know, Walmart's an hour away. And I'm like, because of traffic? And he's like, no, because it's an hour away. This is true. So he tells me, he's like, you know what I'm going to do, man? I'm going to stop in at the bank where I have my credit line, and I'm going to see if they have, anything that they want to get rid of. And I said, well, Doug, if they had anything they wanted to get rid of, it would be REO. And if it was REO, it would be on the MLS. And if it was on the MLS, you would already know about it, and it probably wouldn't be a deal. You know, we don't really find deals right now in this market on the MLS. You're not going to build a real estate investing business buying off the MLS right now. Years ago, you could. Probably not right now. Maybe it'll change again in the future. But so I'm totally discounting this guy. Like, that doesn't exist. And he's like, well, I'm just going to stop by anyway. So he stops by the bank, and he calls me. After he gets out of there, he's like, dude, you're never going to believe this. They gave me 8 properties that they have on their books that they want to sell. And I'm like, well, don't get excited yet, man, because as soon as you get home, they're going to be on the MLS, and you're going to realize they're not a deal. And he's like, what's wrong with you today, man? You know, I'm like, I've been playing this game. You know, I deal with Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo. We've done a lot of short sale deals. And you cannot be, you guys all saw this. You could drive through your subdivision years ago and see a house that had been sitting there vacant for 2 or 3 years, and it wasn't getting foreclosed, it wasn't getting sold, and it was owned by Bank. You could call Bank of America all you want. They are never, ever going to sell you that house until it becomes REO. Once it becomes REO, it gets placed with an asset manager. When it gets placed with an asset manager, they list it and they sell it. That's what real estate owned is. That's what REO is. You can't buy those houses prior to them coming REO unless you've got millions of dollars and you're buying a tape of like $100 million worth. Then you're buying debt really more than you're buying houses. But you can't do that. What I didn't know is with these small banks, you absolutely can. They don't have an REO process, and most people don't know that. And so we have made a lot of money buying property from local banks. And this is another thing that, in my opinion, over the next couple of years is going to be a gold mine, because they're going to be taking a lot of things back. There's a lot of default that's coming, a lot more than normal, and you're going to have a lot of opportunity to buy these houses. What I mean by small bank is typically 10 locations or less. Not your Bank of America's, not your Chase's, not your Wells Fargo's, typically 10 locations or less. I'll get into this in much more detail when we have more time. Why do we market to local banks? Because they have inventory on their books that they have to get rid of. A cool thing about the local bank strategy also is that you're going to find all different types of real estate. You're going to find single-family homes. You're going to find apartment buildings. You're going to find 4 families. You're going to find commercial real estate. You're going to find all kinds of things. Anything that they could have ever possibly loaned on that goes into default or goes the wrong way is going to show up on their books when this stuff goes bad. So you'll have the opportunity to buy them. So our week 4 call, we're going to start diving into getting your offer accepted. We're going to dive into the deal due diligence. This is where your money's made. You know, everybody talks about the good in real estate investing, but there's bad too. You can absolutely lose money. My mentor lost $86,000 on his first house that he flipped. Sean did. He'll tell you from the front of the room all the time. You can lose money just as fast as you make money in this. You know, everybody, we all talk about the good, but the good comes because people know what they're doing. It doesn't come from random figuring it out. So we need to understand at a high level how to evaluate real estate. What is the property worth as it sits? What is the after repair value? What are the repairs going to cost in order to get us there? We need to spend some time on that. You need to understand that, because if you do that part wrong, you're going to lose money and you're going to take risk, and I don't want you to lose money. We've done 400 plus deals. We've lost money on one or two, and it's because lightning strike kind of stuff happened. But that's because we've built a system and a process to insulate us against losing. And you guys have to do the same thing. We're going to talk about our key metrics. I dove into those a little bit, but this is how I'm going to help you govern your business while you're working a full-time job or anything else. When, if I can understand what your business is sending out, what kind of response is coming in, and what kind of conversion rate you're getting, I can help you to fix it. And then your business infrastructure. So I want to talk about what we do and why we're a little bit different than everybody else. And I want to talk to you about how you can take advantage of this and how you can be part of what we're doing. So, Vina and I came up with something. You guys saw us speak a year ago. Anybody that's ever been to our training, it's always $2,000 a ticket for our three-day event. It always has been. It has been for the last 10 years. We've had thousands and thousands of people come through, and that's always what it's been. And Vina said, I want to do something different. I want to do something that we can, this isn't gimmick. We've never sold this for this price ever in the history of REI Blueprint. And she said, I want you to do something more than just a home study course and a training. So the first part of this, it's our home study course. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Sarah's going to bring that up to me, but I want to talk about our home study course. The home study course is great. We've spent a lot of years perfecting this. Jana in our office is an educator, so she went through and turned, it's essentially four courses. It's our probate training, it's our pre-foreclosure short sale training, it's our local bank training, and it's our eviction module training. So it's essentially four different trainings, but all four of these aren't going to be for all of you. Does that make sense? I would never, ever suggest that you start all four of these strategies at one time, unless you're Doug in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, and you have no population. But if you've got at least close to 1 million people within an hour radius, you do not want to start with four different ones of these strategies. But I want to give you all four of them so that as you scale your business up and grow, you can do that. And this takes you through step-by-step exactly what you need to do. Every letter, every script, every email, every way to pull the data, it is written at a fifth grade level that says, go here to pull your data. Go here to skip trace. Go here step by step by step by step of exactly how to execute on this. All right? Then this in and of itself is on our website for $2,000. We've always sold it for that price. I think it's worth 100 times more than that. But what I want to tell you is, I told you this in the very beginning, I didn't come here to sell you a course. This is cool, but this isn't how people learn. And you're going to buy this, and it's going to go sit on a shelf, and 3 months later, life's going to be the same. And I know that, and that's why I quit doing it. So we still include it in here. But the most important part of what I'm talking about is our 4 weeks of training. So that's going to start. I gave you the dates on those. I'll give you those dates again. But we are going to walk you through step by step. Here's the thing. You can read as many books as you want on how to swim if you don't know how to swim, right? And you can watch DVDs, and you can listen to CDs, and you can do all this stuff on how to swim. But until you go in the water, we don't learn how to swim. I'm about 40 hours deep in helicopter lessons. The very first time that I went, I thought we were doing ground school because they were talking about ground school. And I figured that was what would happen, right? You do a couple weeks of ground school, and then they put you in the helicopter. The guy walks me over, and he says, you know, go ahead and hop in. And I'm thinking, wonder, maybe he's just showing me around, you know, and he's pointing to some things. He's doing some things in my first lesson. And then he starts to fire it up. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? Maybe he's just starting it. Maybe he's just showing me, you know, what's going on. And then he picks the thing up. This all happens real fast. He picks the thing up. He swings it sideways over into this little practice area. And he goes, okay, I want you to put your right foot here. I want you to put your left foot on this pedal. I want you to put your right hand on this. And I want you to put your left hand on this. And so I'm doing it because he's telling me to do it. But I also don't know what the hell's happening. And then all of a sudden he looks at me and he picks his hands up off of the things and he goes, the controls are yours. And I'm like, shit, no, controls aren't mine. This is not my test. This is my first lesson. You know, I'm thinking he thinks I'm somebody else at this point because he totally just took his hands off of this and I'm 10 seconds into this deal. deal. And he's laughing, you know, and he goes, I know that, you know, and then he grabbed it again and he kept doing that. But what I learned is, in that moment, and I was scared to freaking death, and I'm not scared of stuff like that. What I learned in that moment is, human beings learn best by doing. Human beings learn best by immersion. My goal, it might be a little uncomfortable, it might scare you, but you're going to learn and get action fast. Within 7 hours, I could fly that thing by myself. 7 hours. That's how quick a human being can learn how to fly a freaking helicopter from scratch. It's amazing, right? But here's the thing. I could have read books for the next 2 freaking years on how to fly a helicopter and never even picked it up off the ground. So my goal is, I don't want to educate you with more real estate stuff. I want to give you that knowledge, but what I want to do is I want to push you in the pool. And I want you to know that I'm going to be there to hold your hand and help you swim, yes? Because at the end of the day, what do you guys want when you pay for something? You want results, right? You want to actually do the thing. And so I want to put you in an environment where you can do the thing. So that's why we do the 4 weeks of calls. It's 2 hours a week for 4 weeks. If you miss one, we record it. We have a Dropbox folder. You can consume it later. We have a community where you can communicate with us. So if you miss a call and you need some help or you need something else, I'll jump on the phone with you. This isn't some crazy thing. Rachel and I want to help you get the results. This isn't some pre-recorded watch it training. This is live. This is us working through each one of you in real time to help you build the business that you say you want. And we do this because we do it in a group. I'm also going to include a ticket and 2 tickets if you have a spouse to our 3-day boot camp. This is my favorite thing that we do. We don't bring any outside selling speakers. There's no courses to buy. It's 100% content for 3 full days. And we run you through from start to finish how to run a successful real estate investing business. Our 3-day boot camp is December 10th through 12th. I know that's kind of short notice. If you can't make it, that's not the end of the world. You have a ticket that you can use whenever you want to use it, and we typically do 3 or 4 of those a year. So you can't make that first one, that's fine. What I want you to make is the 4 weeks worth of calls. What I want you to do is be one of those people, one of the 70% of people that we have making offers on property within 30 days. Is that what you guys want?
Yeah.
Yes or no, guys?
Yeah.
Do you want to change your life? You want to do? I'm not going to push you to do it. You've got to make that decision. You've got to decide, do I want to stand up for myself? Do I want to make change? And if you want to make change, the best way to do it is to put yourself in an environment that's a little bit uncomfortable. We're going to be there. We're going to be there with you step by step, week over week. When you're making these phone calls, when you're talking to sellers, and you're like, oh my God, they said this and I have no idea what to do. You don't have to be on an island by yourself. If you remember in the beginning, I said you need 3 things. You need a recipe or a blueprint. You need massive action, and you need a mentor or coach. So I designed this program so that I can fulfill all 3 of those things. We're going to give you our recipe and blueprint so you know exactly what to do in your business on a daily basis. We're going to mentor you and coach you for 2 hours a week for the next 4 weeks. And we're going to put you in an environment where you're accountable to take action on the things that you say you want. Fair enough? Make sense? So the price for that, while we're here this today, and Rachel and I are leaving today, it's $1,497. And here's my guarantee. If this isn't the single best real estate investing training that you've ever been through in your life, bar none, bar anybody, I will refund 100% of that money. No questions asked. If it isn't what I told you it was, I don't care about selling courses. I don't care about selling training. What I want to do is create an army of people that know how to do deals so that when you find another 30-unit apartment building, you call me and I partner with you on it. Or a 94-bed assisted living facility, or a deal that you can't take down on your own. I want to teach people how to do deals and change lives. That's why we're here. The only way I can do that is if you buy my stuff and you come into our circle, period, end of story. If you ever watch Brian Tracy, he always says, I want people to buy my books and tapes, because when they buy my books and tapes, I can actually have influence over their lives and make it better. Same thing here. I can't help you if I'm not spending time with you. I charge $75,000 a year for personal coaching, and I'm full. I have a waiting list. That's what I charge for one-on-one coaching, $75,000 a year. It's a lot of freaking money, right? I'm going to coach you guys for 2 hours, and you know what they get for that? 1 hour a month. 1 hour a month, that's what they get. If I'm able to make a big enough difference, then that's a small price for some to pay, right? If I'm able to bring them back a 10 times return on what they pay, it's a small price to pay. I'm going to coach you guys for 2 hours a week for the next 4 weeks. And you're going to have all that, and the course, and the home study course, and the ticket set for $1,497. So here's what I want to do. I got to get out of here because we got another speaker coming in. Who's going to be on that 4 weeks for the training with us? Let me see your hands. Right? Awesome. Good. What the heck are the rest of you guys going to do? We got to do something. We got to get you guys motivated. So here's what I'm going to do. For the first 5 people, because I like rewarding massive action, for the first 5 people that sign up while I'm in here, and I see some of you in the back already doing that, so I'll honor that for you guys. For the first 5 people that sign up, I am also going to give you access to two free trainings that we're going to be doing just with our coaching students only. One is how we've made millions of dollars in the last year with multifamily apartment buildings. I'm going to do a whole training for our existing coaching students. I'm going to give you guys access to how we've a whole multifamily training that we're going to do for free. I'm also going to give you guys access to a training that I'm doing with my coaching students on, on how we bought this 94-bed residential assisted living facility. This one transaction absolutely changed our lives, and so I want to give you guys access to that stuff too. So if you want to jump on this training with us, if you're ready to do it, go back and sign up. All of you guys back there that are already signing up, please number those slips for me, if you will, because I want to give the first five people access to that training. The dates for that training, I'll have Rachel give them to you guys again. Or maybe they're not here. 11-16, 11-23, 11-13, 11-30, and 12-7. And if you're going to miss one or you can't make it, we will record it. We'll put it in a Dropbox folder for you. But I want to get you guys started quickly. And you know what? Real quick, for those of you guys in the back, thank you guys for all being back there. The first 10 people I'll give that to, because I know some of you went back at the same time and it was already past 5.